Welcome to Female Empowered, a podcast for female fitness and wellness professionals and business owners looking for real talk about the ins and outs of the industry. I'm Krista Gurka, an accidental entrepreneur turned founder and CEO of a multi-million dollar health and wellness business. In this podcast, I'll be sharing expert insights and having real conversations about what it means to show up, thrive, and of course, get paid. We'll talk about what works, what doesn't, and what really happens behind the scenes of a client-based business. All so you can take away sound advice and actionable steps that help you become a more successful and confident business owner, all on your own terms. So let's dive in. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Female Empowered. I'm your host, Krista Gurka. I'm really excited for this episode today because I am bringing on one of our team members, Pilates in the Grove team members, Kelly Montgomery, although she just got married. So are we saying...
Kelly Montgomery is just fine for now.
Okay, got it. Okay, sorry, Alex. And then what we're going to actually talk about is how transitioning an employee into a leadership or managerial role and how you can do that successfully in your business for everyone involved. So I've been asking Kelly for a little while if she'd be interested. And I think this is going to be a great conversation because so many of you business owners are like ready for some help on your end. And then you're kind of like, you know, I already promoted this person and it didn't work. And so I think that there's some things that we do as owners that set us up for failure in this transition. So I'd love to, Kelly's been absolutely amazing. Like I couldn't have asked for anything better. And so Kelly, why don't you introduce yourself and then give us like your story of like way back from like PT school, where'd you go? When'd you come to Miami? When'd you start working at Pilates the Grove? All of that good stuff.
All right. Well, hello, I'm Kelly. I am a Michigan native. I grew up in the Detroit area. For college, I went to University of Michigan, which Woo-hoo! I think was a really nice connection between the two of us to begin with anyway,
right? Pretty much. Get-go. So I was almost like, you'll get hired no matter what, Wolverine, unless like, you were like a total debacle, like Wolverine. But you know, I don't know if I announced this on the podcast, but my son just accepted to go to the Ohio State. So we will officially become a house divided.
Oh gosh.
But I'm super happy for him anyway. So please continue, fellow Wolverine.
So for undergrad, I went to Michigan. In the summers between semesters, I ended up working in my dad is actually an orthopedic surgeon. So he had a physical therapy clinic that was attached to his practice. So over the summers, I would work as a PT tech and realize like, wow, this is definitely something that I want to do for my career. So after undergrad, I went to physical therapy school at the NGH Institute of Health Professions, a small little grad school in Boston, where I finished my school and actually went into acute care. So it was a decision and an experience that I never thought I would ever do. I used to be someone who would pass out with blood type of person and ended up loving it. So I worked in hospitals for a couple of years in Boston and then decided that prior to my dad's retirement, I wanted to go back to Michigan to experience working with him as a physical therapist instead of just a tech in his clinic. So I transitioned to working in a hospital in Michigan and stayed there for about a year, but decided it was time for me to move into the outpatient world. So I started working at a regular PT clinic, insurance-based, very chaotic, lots of patients. But the thing that I loved the most about this clinic was they used reformers as part of their rehab, really for, you know, particular people who were appropriate for that. So from there, I was like, wow, Pilates and physical therapy really can go hand in hand. This is really cool. So I met my now husband up in Michigan at the time, and he said, hey, I'm moving to Miami. Come with me. And I said, great. That sounds wonderful. Oh my gosh, I need to look for a job. So I started Googling Pilates and physical therapy in Miami, Florida, and Pilates in the Grove was the first thing that popped up on the Google search. So Yay for Google
SEO,
ads.
Let's go businesses. So, I love that.
Exactly. So the Google search was key there. So I ended up just sending like a email to like the info at email with my resume attached. And I got an email back from Krista that said, hey, Golu, let's meet. So from there, I accepted a position at Pilates in the Grove, but I still had about like 4 or 5 months until I was going to be moving down to Miami. So that's when I started my Pilates teacher training program, which I did through Pilates in the Grove. So I took a couple of weekends, came down, was able to start learning some of the different level exercises, and then would go back up to Michigan. And I had a reformer in our clinic, which was so great. So I could start to practice teaching right away. I started to incorporate the mat exercises with almost everybody, or, you know, some type of modification of the mat exercises. Yeah, we weren't going to be doing any like open leg rockers on like high low tables. But so anyway, from there, I accepted my position, started working at Pilates in the Grove. COVID hit, things went crazy. We transitioned home, came back, and then I was offered the awesome opportunity to move up to being manager at the studio. So that is my brief story.
Yeah, that's like, you know, so there's a few things that I definitely would love to ask, because I think the listeners would love to know. So when I remember when you first told me about your dad being a spine surgeon, that was really interesting. So do you, when you were coming out of school or in school, did you use your dad as like a resource to ask him about like spine related questions and stuff like that, or not really?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Actually, to this day, I still call up my dad and ask him questions. He did a lot of the elective procedures as spine surgeons do, but he also was really passionate about people who have really severe spinal deformities. So like scoliosis and, you know, other type of spinal curvature issues. So, you know, throughout my entire career, anytime that comes up, something comes up, I'm always asking him questions. It was amazing even working hand in hand as like an attending on the floor. And then I got to see those patients and be able to ask him directly, like, what did you do? What did it look like? I actually was able to scrub in with him a couple times too. So that gave me a whole other opportunity to appreciate and understand what it's like for someone who has, you know, a fusion or a discectomy or, you know, cervical or lumbar, you know, whatever. So yes, my dad has been an awesome resource.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've never scrubbed in for a spine surgery. I've seen joints, shoulder, hip, knee, ankle. I've never seen a spine surgery though. I would imagine that it's, relatively bloody. Because,
yeah, there's no tourniquet. So
yeah, I was about to say there's no way to shut the blood off.
A big learning point for me when I went in for the first time was, you know, we took anatomy and physical therapy school. I had a cadaver lab, which was really an amazing opportunity. But when you learn via a textbook and when you learn via a cadaver, you have landmarks that are so big and so vast that actually going into a surgery with an incision that's 2 inches long and, you know, my dad's like, what's that? I'm like, ooh, I really need to think about this because everything looks so different from like a tiny little hole from above.
Yeah. And now they're doing so much with cameras now, like that they're just going in with cameras to look
exactly.
In there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so even then it's like, whoa, what are you looking at? That's just so cool.
And
so
it's a different,
just a different perspective
than a cadaver.
Different color. It's not color coded.
It's not like drawn beautifully, like in a book.
There's okay. No, like, so tagged the nerves or like,
exactly,
you know,
that's just like, this would be, and you could like pull it and be like, oh yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. This is what happens. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I would imagine that that's really cool too, to be able to like ask, you know, this is what I'm seeing. What could be happening like really internally that's going on here, you know, to have that kind of, you know, relationship.
Absolutely.
With your dad. So
it's very fun.
And then, okay. So you were a PT. Yes. As soon as you reached out, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, thank you from the heavens. Like I do, this is why I really do believe, like when we talk about issues in business, sometimes I'm like, everything's a problem. It has a solution. And sometimes if you just like give it up to the universe and just say like things will happen, like the right person comes along. And so this was great. I was really excited for you to come down. What was the transition like going from an insurance-based practice to a cash-based practice that was like, yes, we are a cash-based concierge physical therapy practice, but also a full-service Pilates studio. And so it's not really, it's not the same as working in like an outpatient clinic. So what was that transition like?
Yeah. So a couple things about that. One was I loved being able to go to a one-on-one model where I was solely responsible and worked with one person for 50 to 55 minutes. No distractions, no one else taking someone through an exercise, just me and that person. That was an experience I had never had before, being able to just give my full undivided attention to one person. I found that even in those 50 minutes, you could be 10 times more productive than in an hour that maybe I would have dedicated to someone in a clinic with 10 other people in the back of my mind, maybe not 10, three or four other people in the back of my mind. So that was one thing that I really, really loved. The other thing that I really loved was that people in a cash-based business, whether it's wellness or the physical therapy side, people want to be there. People want to show up. They want to get better. They want to know your opinion. Whether or not they even submit that to their insurance, it doesn't matter. They want it to be there and get better. That was another thing that I really, really loved. There wasn't someone who was coming because they were told they have to go three times a week or never did their exercises at home or whatever. So I really liked that. Something else I really liked was being able to see someone for physical therapy, but then when their physical therapy needs were met, we could transition them into a Pilates program. So I taught group classes at the time too, which were our like back to basics classes, which were great for people returning from injury or, you know, someone who maybe needs a little bit of extra TLC. So, you know, I could say, hey, come join me in my group class. I already would know what's going on with their bodies. I could transition them into an exercise program. And then, you know, if you need to see them again, you do, but if not, that's fine. They're on their journey for their own wellness. One of the challenges in particular was almost the same thing as the pro to seeing people one-on-one was that, actually I kind of lost my train of thought where I was going to go with that, but
the pace
and like being able to kind of use the PT brain, but apply it to wellness and fitness. And you know, in physical therapy school, we obviously learn a lot about exercise, but we think about it with the hat of rehab. Yeah. And it was a challenge to keep a PT hat on, but almost just take a different perspective and see the body moving as a whole and be able to, this was a challenge, but also a good thing, where if someone has shoulder pain, you're not just like looking at their shoulder because that's what their script says. You now can have the opportunity to be able to look at everything. And they might not even need PT. They're there just for wellness. So you can use exercises to help them work through a problem, even if it's not directly looking or like moving their shoulder.
Yeah.
So it was a challenge for sure, but it was really good because it's opened my eyes to so much more. And instead of kind of like a tunnel vision, I feel like it's really exploded and expanded the way that I think of things.
Yeah. I think that is a challenge for a lot of people, coming from a traditional clinic setting to a, cash-based setting where we can see people, like we have people come in once a week for a long time. They're not always getting, you know, and if you can't see me, I'm doing quotes, like physical therapy per se, but you know, I have people that have been on my schedule for 10 years that I can always find something in their body to optimize.
Absolutely.
Right.
For sure.
So I may never have to put my hands on them, but the beauty is that if they come in one day and they're like, I don't know what I did, I can't move my neck, I'm like, no problem. Like, we'll work on that today. Like, I always have my hands with me and that's great. Do you think it was helpful that you had been practicing for a certain period of time when you came into transitioned into this cash-based setting versus if you were like a new grad going into this environment?
I do personally think that it was nice to have the opportunity to be able to experience what it's like to work in a PT clinic. For me, transitioning from acute care to outpatient was already a big enough challenge. I think having that opportunity under my belt personally was good. I did like in PT clinics, there's usually multiple other physical therapists mm-hmm. that are around and available. So if you just need to pull someone in real quick and ask a question or like, hey, I'm seeing this, you know, I thought that was a really great, that was really great at the time. When you're working one-on-one, maybe you're the only PT there. It is a little bit more of a challenge to transition. However, it depends on how you learn. I learn mm-hmm. by observing and working with someone. Other people learn by diving right in and, hey, let's see what happens. If I try this, this will happen, or, you know, whatever. So, you know, it really, I think, is dependent on the personality, but for me, I liked having that experience first.
Yeah.
And then coming in.
I would think so too. I mean, by the time I got, you know, I'd been practicing for probably 10 years. So for me, I was kind of just like, oh my God, this is so nice not to have to get like all my documentation. And though we document, I didn't feel like I had to be, I wasn't trying to convince someone to pay for these services with my documentation. I was literally just writing what
documenting what you see and and what you recommend.
And so that was wonderful for me to, and be able to say, again, like for those of you that are not physical therapists, you know, when you're dealing with insurance, sometimes there's all sorts of restrictions. And so if someone would come in and have foot pain, but it was really coming from their neck, it was really hard to say like there's two different body parts and insurance would deny one treatment. And it was such a pain in the ass and such like, it's so stupid. You know, the body is a whole, the body is much more, by the way, there's organs and visceral components and breath work and all sorts of stuff related to pain and injury. So that for sure, for me was like, oh, I don't have to like prove myself to anyone.
Right. And I do think that even having the experience from like the fitness perspective also mm-hmm. helped with that too. Just spending time looking at people who actually don't have anything going wrong that they can feel, but then you still can start to pick up on these subtleties of things and you can, you know, with something so small, they might not even notice, but then at the end of the session, be like, wow, I didn't even realize that was a problem. And now this feels better.
Exactly. And it works to like mitigate future problems, not prevent them, but like just mitigate, you know, if you can be as strong as possible or as mobile as possible, you're just going to mitigate injury. Like that's
and that body awareness too, of, you know, kind of knowing where you are in space. And that's where Pilates really, really is awesome. It's a great tool for feedback.
I agree. Yeah. So Kelly started, what was that? September of 2019.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So she started September 2019 and then March 2020 was like, you know, she's like at this point where like, I don't know if for those of you that have boutique fitness or cash-based physical therapy centers, you know that it's not like a surplus of patients. So ramping up someone's schedule, it takes a little bit of time, right? So she's getting to the point where she's like, her schedule's good. It's full. She's going. And then all of a sudden March 2020 is like, so it happens. But what, one of the things that transpired in that time, obviously our business went through a lot of transitions. We had people leave, you know, we were closed for 3 months, which is not nearly as bad as some people in this country, New York and California out there.
Yeah, we were lucky.
Yeah. But one of the things was, one of the things I've always said is that COVID did allow us to step back and look at the business from like a structural component and an efficiency and sustainability component. And it was almost like the perfect storm that forced your hand, if you so chose to accept the challenge of like restructuring the business that is going to be more sustainable for the future. Mm-hmm. And so at the time when I was like, I don't know, what do we do? Do we need another manager? Do we not need a manager? Do we need two managers? Do we need one? We had tried individual managers. We had tried one main manager. Nothing really like panned out perfectly. One of the things at least that made me think, like, I think we should offer this to Kelly was that you during that time were very open to feedback and open to being like, you really stepped up on yourself to be a leader for people. Like, can I fill in for this person? Yes. Oh, don't worry. I'm going to reach out to that person. Yes. You know, like you took a lot of initiative without being asked. And I think that is one thing that we can say to business owners, like, hey, look for people that are taking initiative and looking for more responsibility rather than asking people to take on more responsibility that may not want that.
Yes. You know? I totally agree. I think that someone having that motivation to be able to do that on their own is something that you cannot teach everybody. Some yeah. people are very okay with, you know, coming to work during their, doing their job and going home. For me in particular, you know, COVID was, everybody obviously had an experience with COVID, but COVID was the first time in my life that I went from full-time job that was, I had a very full schedule, which I was very lucky to build that up right away, to being at home and, you know, waking up and my purpose was different every day. I didn't know what my purpose was anymore. It used to be to go help people every day. So I kind of went through this like identity crisis of, oh my gosh, without my job, who am I? Which there's pros and cons to that, right? The pro was that obviously life needs to exist outside of your job. But also I was like, you know what, if I want to help people, then I need to reach out to the people that I know. And the people that I know are our clients. And if they need me, great. And if they don't, then it's just an ear for conversation. So that actually, I think, was a good turning point for me to actually change the relationship with the clients, even like, hey, I'm here to stay. I care about you. You know, sometimes I would get a call back, sometimes I wouldn't, but most mm-hmm. of the time the messages were, wow, so happy to hear from you. You know, that's, thank you for caring and calling. So yeah, I think initiative is definitely like the number one thing that someone just has to have if you want to move them yeah. up.
Especially so for people like that are in my position that are small business owners and are really in the business, right? Like I was still seeing clients, I was teaching classes, I was teaching. So I'm like really in the business. And the job of anybody that's in any type of leadership role in a small business like that is to take work off of the owner's plate, right? So what happens to some people is they're like, oh, I need a manager because someone told me I need a manager, or like they know they need help. So they're like, hire a manager. And either they just promote someone from within, which is usually what they want to do. And then what happens is that person, because we're going to talk about this, but the skills required to be a manager are very, very different, drastically different than the skills required to teach a Pilates class yes. or run a PT session. Okay. Sure. So they're very different skill sets, which is oftentimes why owners and CEOs don't make great managers, because they're different skill sets. But so for what happens to a lot of people is that then they hire these people or promote these people, and those people don't take anything. Like it's almost like more work. And then, so the people are like, oh, it's just easier for me to do it myself. But that's where the training and the onboarding and getting things out of the owner's head, so the expectations can be good. And the person that you bring on in that role has to be okay with being accountable, right? Like if they have a task and it doesn't get done, it doesn't mean that it's horrible, but you have to be like, you know what? I missed that. I got it. Now I'm going to learn for the next time. Or be okay having open communication with your boss to say, I'm not clear on what I'm supposed to do here. So if you just show me, then the next time it won't happen again. And neither of those people can be defensive about having communication, right? Because you're in a learning curve. So we finally offered, when did we offer you I can't even remember now, because it all like blurs together.
Probably would have been, I think it was like, it was 2021, beginning of 2021, maybe.
So I think so, right? Came like back January. And,
yeah, I think we worked again in person for another 6 months or 7 months or so. And then,
what we did was we realized, one of the things was, yes, Kelly. So for owners, if you're looking at like, what am I looking for? The things that I liked were like, she took feedback really well, which I think is important. She was skilled at her what would I say, like her craft, like being a physical therapist and a Pilates instructor. So she had a really good sense of what that was. So that was good. She had demonstrated already like professionalism, showing up for work, doing more than is required and taking initiative to be like, oh, I'll take that on or I'll do this or whatever. The other thing, by the way, that I don't know if I ever told you this, but one of the other things that made me think this would be a great role for you was that I did think some of those longer days of patient care were like starting to wear on you a little bit. And so I was like, this hybrid position could be ideal for her. Hey there. Have you checked out my learning library at kristagurka.com? If you haven't, it's a great place to get started to learn more about how to run an effective, efficient, sustainable, and profitable business. I have a variety of masterclasses up on there. Some are free and some cost not too much, less than $20. Go ahead and check it out by visiting www.kristagurka.com/store. Because, and here's why I say that. There are some people that are just workhorses. Like they just are, like they are nose to the grindstone. I will see patients 10 hours a day and they have a real, that's how they live. It's like those cardio junkies that like, they just need that like sweating or they just need that. And so there are some people that you're like, oh, I'll make them manager. They work hard, but their skill set is in that. And they're like, who they are is in just seeing a lot of people. And sometimes that doesn't transit. They don't love the hybrid role because that means you have to like take away some of their client care.
Right.
Right. So I was like, this will be perfect. I thought you would enjoy the hybrid role and you'd also be really good at it. Cause you have to enjoy it and want it and then also be skilled at it. So what we did was what we created for Kelly was, so what we mean by hybrid role is she floats between both locations. And she does half and half. So she does half client care, whether that's seeing patients, she teaches a couple classes a week. And then she does half managerial roles. So why don't you kind of describe what that, well, like what your day-to-day looks like. And then we can dig into like some of the things that were surprising to you stepping into the role as manager.
Yeah. So, I would say day-to-day is the way my schedule was structured before was kind of like you touched on similarly, was that I had 2 days a week that were really long. They were my 10 hour days of 10 to 11 hour days, depending, of client care. And then the other days were, you know, a little bit shorter, but the way I transitioned my schedule was I really primarily worked only at one of our locations. So I still kept a little bit, my Monday, Wednesdays are longer client facing days, but then I was able to open up my schedule in our other studio 2 days a week to be able to make myself present there. And then Fridays I've been able to try to just keep open. So whether that means I'm covering somebody else or it's a work from home day, or I need to go in for teacher training, or I need to, it's just kind of like a flex day that I can be wherever I need to be and be flexible. So I usually try to batch together as many clients as I can. I try to avoid like the Swiss cheese model where there's like an hour here, an hour there. That's just like a really,
that just doesn't work for people. Like, yeah, let's just say it right now. That doesn't, that because you know what it is? It's that task switching to have like a teacher brain on and then have to have like a manager brain on like within an hour. It just doesn't, it doesn't work for me either. Right. I can't task switch like that.
So really like, if I'm going to do that, if I have an hour between, that's when I'm checking emails, you know, responding in doing things that are very more those monotonous tasks that don't really require much thought.
Yeah.
But then I like to use the other chunks of time to be able to like, you know, block off my deep thinking or like diving into a project and like block off time in those days. So the nice thing is it is flexible. If I need to be at the studio, I'm at the studio. If I have a chance to escape and go home, I'll go home and work. It just kind of depends on the day. Yeah. The other night,
like you're home right now, like we're recording this podcast. It's a Thursday and it's 12:30. So yeah, she exactly. Like, these are days that she has the opportunity. She could stay at the studio if needed. She could go home and work. And my philosophy, this is the other thing I think business owners need to, I wasn't like this before COVID, by the way. And this is my own shit that I've been working on in therapy. Like I was such a control freak. I was worried like, well, what if they're not doing work at home? Like, why do they get to go home in the middle of the day? Like that was my mindset because again, probably from my past experiences of people flaking out and not doing, I just felt like I had to see everyone. But now I've really realized, and I think COVID pushed the envelope with this, like proving like you don't have to be in people's presence for them to get the work done right.
Exactly.
And Kelly has exemplified this, which is again, why, like, I don't want to say you're allowed to go home. That's not the word I'm looking for, but that she's, I don't feel any one way. Like if she's at the studio, I know she's being productive. If she's at home, she's being productive. I know if she went to Michigan on a Friday and she's working, she's being productive. Like I don't, because the job, the roles that you're responsible for are getting done. So I've been able to say, you know what, if the work is getting done, why does she need to be sitting in a windowless room in the studio?
Yeah, I found too that, you know, there's certain things that are better to be done in the studio. And that's when I need to do things like say hello to our clients that are our biggest spenders and, you know, people who are very dedicated. I love to be able to greet them, say hello, ask how they're doing, ask how their families are. I love to be in the studio to be able to talk to my coworkers, see what's going on, be the ears like behind the door, kind of hearing what's going on in the studio, picking up if there's any drama that's going on. Because if there is anything that's going on, I want to nip it in the bud right when it's happening. Now we're very lucky where drama doesn't really exist very much. So I don't have to do much.
But
there.
I also, you know what? I do agree with you too, but I also believe that is because of how you run the studios. So yes, we are lucky with the personnel that we have, but if we didn't set the culture from like the top down and you being in the studio exemplifying, because by the way, if you just were home all the time and nobody saw you,
that's a fair point.
Wouldn't be the same.
That's a fair point. I try to be available. I also try to have like a very open door policy that's very much like a two-way street of feedback and listening. And, you know, whether someone wants to go grab a coffee and tell me something they're going through, or if they want to just blurt it out in between sessions, it's just nice to be able to be present. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, when you're present and you're in the role of doing that for a day, I can't sit down and like plan the Pilates teacher training curriculum or, you know, manage, you know, something's broken. I have to make an appointment for this. I have to call this person, that person. That's when coming home is great because then I'm still available via Slack or phone if anyone needs me, but I can dive into those other tasks and like be more productive with my time, really.
Yeah. Totally. Because people aren't knocking on the door. You're not getting distracted by someone coming into the room and talking to you. And
which I love, but I do too. I agree.
There are times for people to be in the studio. Like it's important, you know, and, whereas, cause I'm not in the studio very much anymore. I'm going in there one day a week, which by the way, I was there yesterday. I'm loving my Wednesdays. I'm sad not to see you anymore, but I was telling Ariella, I was like, I love my Wednesdays now. It's quiet.
Yep.
It's like perfect. So let's talk a little bit about, so we talked about that you're kind of hybrid. So you do teach or treat. The beauty of being hybrid now too, is because as most people know, this industry, hiring is really tough. So like when people get sick or need to cover, like Kelly has been amazing. And she's just like, oh, these are the days that I'm going to be in. If Kelly's covering and somebody else gets sick, like I can jump in. So we don't feel like as like pulled to extra, like meaning like screwed basically.
Like, yeah, I think your point that you were saying earlier too, about the relationship that you need to have with your CEO and manager, you know, that dynamic, I think also is very important to be obviously professional and respectful, but really open. And like, hey, you know what, Krissa, this week I'm covering for someone who is usually working full time. I'm going to have 30 hours of client facing time this week, plus or minus the people that cancel. But like, hey, this week is just not going to be a good week for me to get X, Y, and Z done. So either presenting a plan like, hey, I'm going to work on this, or like, hey, what do you think is the most important thing for me to get done over the next couple of weeks? Yeah. And I'll focus on that. Yeah. And I think being able to say like, look, this is a lot, and not feel like there's judgment, or, you know, there's a level of understanding because you see people too. So I think that that's another nice thing about the hybrid model, that I'm still on the floor and still experiencing what it's like to be in the trenches when you're busy, which is good for the rest of the staff to be able to see too. And also it creates a little bit of a boundary where I'm not 100% available 100% of the time because I'm seeing people too. So it does allow people to problem solve on their own a little bit, like our front desk staff, for example. You know, if I'm not available for 5 hours, like sometimes problems have to be solved over the course of that time. So,
anyway, I also think for you, but I think that's a great point. One of your strongest skill sets, which I actually am better at now, but I wasn't good at this at all, is I've always thought that you've had a really good sense of your capacity level. And so you've been strong enough to say, I can't take that on my plate right now. Like, and I appreciate that versus you saying yes to everything for fear of like retribution. And then, you know, and I feel comfortable enough with you now that if I can say, so this is something that we need to get done. So what else can then we put like on the back burner? What can we pull off your plate?
Right.
Like if there's something that comes up in an initiative or something that I'm like, this needs immediate attention. But I do like that you're strong enough to say, I don't think I have the capacity to do this. And I've learned to say, okay, who else can be accountable for it? Or where can I help you? Or, you know what, we're going to push that off to next quarter. That's fine.
Yeah. And I think that was a big part of the transition of going from, you know, just being one of the other coworkers to taking that step above, is it did take me a while to get to learn that it is okay to say like, mm-hmm. you have a lot on your plate. And, you know, at first you're like, yeah, I want to do everything because I don't want to mess it up. And I want to be, you know, make sure I'm doing things right. And I don't want to disappoint anyone. But then that also is a bad spiral to go down, because mm-hmm. you're just going to burn yourself out from like perfectionism that just doesn't exist for anyone.
Yeah.
So, having that open dialogue, I mean, it didn't take me long to realize that you have to be able to say like, maybe, and also kind of in a way that's like, hey, I would appreciate guidance. Mm-hmm. So, because I do feel like I have a lot on my plate. So like with your experience, maybe you can help me like figure out business-wise, figure out team-wise, where do I need to allocate my time right now? Cause I'm feeling a little overwhelmed.
Yeah. And I think that's, we've had open dialogue like that for a while. Like, time. I love that you come to me and you're like, I need a little guidance on this. So that's another thing. I think this is a great point. So Kelly, when she has a question, a concern, a problem, right? She doesn't come to me and offload it on my plate. Like one of the things that's super helpful is she is super protective of my time now. Like sometimes I'll be like, no, I'll cover, it's fine. And she's like, yeah, no, this other person's going to do it.
No.
And I'm like, no, it's fine, I'll do it. And because I know what it's like to like not get people to cover, but she is super protective of my time, which I really appreciate, because it's the first time that I've actually like things going on in the studio now that I don't even know about, which is like, I never thought that I would get to that point. But so what's great about you, Kelly, though, is that when you do have a question or concern, you don't come and offload it onto my plate. You're not like, this is an issue, I need you to handle it. You're kind of like, I think I need some guidance on this, which is great. Right. And then we'll talk about it. And then, you know, I also, as a leader, don't want to step in and do everything for you, because then you never learn, right? So what's great is you're like, let me try it again. And if it doesn't work, then I'll go up the chain. So there's like a process in it, right? So you never come and like just offload it, which I think is great. You've driven to the studio a gazillion times because like something's come up and nobody calls me, which is like, I love it. So you have a really good understanding of like what's expected of you. You ask for help when you need it, which is good because when you do ask for help, I usually know like she's getting in the weeds. Like she needs help. She's not asking for help just because she's lazy, you know?
I think we touched on this a little bit in the beginning, but when transitioning into this role, I think the expectations were very clear as well about what you wanted me to do. And it was very clear to me from the very beginning that you wanted to take a step back from a lot of different roles and that you needed someone to step up. And it was presented in, actually, we did a trial for, I think, 30 or 90 days, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
So just like any new hire, I had a 30-day review, a 60-day review, and a 90-day review. And I also was working with our COO at the time, and his approach was very much like, try it, and if you fail, try again, and it's okay. And I felt like if I was really in a sticky situation being like, hey, I have no idea what to do, please help me, I'll still take care of it. But like, what would you do in this situation? Yeah. I found that those conversations were really helpful to make sure I was making the right decisions and, you know, moving forward appropriately.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think it started with the expectations. Like the expectation was that you needed someone to really step up and fill shoes.
Yeah. So, and you have done that like tenfold. So why don't you talk a little bit about like, what are some of the things as a manager that you handle? So besides teaching and treating and doing that, like what are some of the managerial things that as a clinician before you weren't doing that now you are doing?
I would say a lot of customer service type things. So, working with clients who have issues that are going on, you know, someone's upset or, you know, whatever, they want leftover classes from 4 years ago that they still want to have credit for. And like, you know, just tough conversations, I guess, is really more the blanket statement there is tough conversations, whether that's with a client or with staff. So I do handle a lot of that. Yeah. I help with our reviews for the yearly reviews, as well as I do quarterly little touch bases. So helping facilitate the staff moving in their direction for where they want to be. I oversee the schedule. So I try almost every day to kind of take a peek at the schedule and just see if there's places we can maximize. I add classes, take them away, you know, help with the hiring process to be able to improve.
Vacation requests.
Yep. PTO. I manage that. Yep.
Anything that's like needs repair, fixing in the studio, like leaks, the alarm's going off. We can't figure out what to do. The door won't open, all of that.
Yep. And I'm lucky to have, girls that work at the front desk with me to help me with some of those things. If I can't be physically present, which is really nice. I can help guide them or, you know, help them get to where they need to be. And then they're there. So I don't have to be in two places at once. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have a great team, but I do believe it does stem from the top, because if you sucked, we wouldn't have a great team.
Well, like, that's true.
If you were like an a-hole, like people would be like, you know, I don't care what Kelly says, you know, you lead from the front, which I think is important.
I try to be like a good bridge that is that knows the things from the top and from the staff side and be able to relay information to both sides that's appropriate. You know, not all business things need to be shared with everybody else, but you know, you still can get valuable information and share the information when it's necessary. So I try to do that.
Yeah. What surprised you the most being able to like peek behind the curtain of the business?
Ooh, that is a good question. You know, I think it wasn't really so much a surprise, but just how much goes on the business side that really I had no idea that was going on behind the scenes. Like even something as small as like the mid-month and the monthly newsletter. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know we sent those. I wasn't on the list, so I never saw them. I didn't know we even did that. I just was like, even sitting in on our first team meetings, I'm like, wow, this is what we do. Okay.
Yeah. Like the little nuances that keep the business going in such a level that some people are just like, I totally get what you're saying. You're kind of like, we just think it, we're so like our threshold. We're so used to having like such great high quality stuff that people are just like, oh, it's like autopilot. Right. So like seeing right. the little nuances that are going on.
Yeah. Or like being able to see that, yeah, if one person does cancel, it really is crucial to try to get mm-hmm. them to reschedule because our numbers are based on a projection, you know, whatever. The things that, you know, I might have even known as a staff member, but just applying it a little bit differently. So I also try to take the time to explain those things to our staff now too. Like, hey, I actually didn't understand that this is why it was the way it was, but maybe I can give you guys some insight as to where I'm coming from.
Right. Now, and you also bring things to our attention the same way too. So this is how it's perceived by the team right now is going sure. on, you know, and sometimes, and you've seen like sometimes the initiatives that we decide on, they're for the benefit of this like team, but sometimes the way they come across, the perception of it may not be the same way. And so sure. it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do to fix it? So it's good to have those like boots on the ground, come back and be able to sit in on the meetings. And you could be like, no, this is like really what's happening. It's not, you know, this is what's going on. And back forth, like being that liaison is really good.
Yeah. I think learning to listen and kind of hear what everybody's saying is good. And, you know, everybody's needs are different. So being able to make decisions and, you know, help facilitate what they need. I don't know. Sometimes it's a flop as a whole, but then you do something small that's a little different and then it reaches to them. It just, you know,
and that's the thing with being a manager. You have to, like you said it right now, like your listening skills have to be really, really good.
Listening and I think like eavesdropping.
Yeah. Well, just also like, yes. And like under, like reading body language, reading things like that. And so one of the things that for me, like I've been working on that I wasn't so great at was being a good listener. And I think it was because I operated from this place of like the founder mentality of like, a lot of founders, I call it the founder's paradox because it's like most founders are like grinders because you kind of just do like whatever you can. And especially like coming out of COVID, like that just being nose to the grindstone, like we are going to do everything in our power to stay open and stay financially solvent. And then you can get to a point where you're like, okay, now I have to put this other hat back on that's like a listening hat. And sometimes for founders, it's hard to transition to that, right? So understanding that as an owner, so owners out there, if you understand that, you don't have to beat yourself up for it. Just like hire or bring people on your team that have that skill set or have the capacity to have that skill set. I also didn't have the capacity to do it because you know what? When I was in the middle of like trying to keep the business open from COVID and someone bitched to me about a fucking cancellation policy, I was like, dude, I cannot deal with this right now. Like, I can't do it. So if you know that as a business owner, you don't want to handle cancellation concerns, then like put someone on your team that'll do it.
Right. I think that even going back to, you know, the COVID experience anyway, like of course, from trying to move someone up, there's things that you want to look for, but also it comes from the top down too. And during COVID, you were very positive. You said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're a team, kind of like delegating some tasks while all of us are like, we have no idea what's going on. You didn't know what you were doing either, probably, but you didn't tell us that. So it felt it's good to have that from both sides where you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try the best I can, but I feel supported and they're supporting me and they want me to try to stay here. They want to try to help me financially. They want to try, you know, it goes from both ways. Like,
yeah, I agree. Both people have to have good communication skills. And I think you and I have really good communication skills. I mean, I think I remember back to this day, I think we were in the Coconut Grove studio we were talking about documentation or something, and we were in the kitchen, little kitchen area. And I think that you were stressed about something. And I said, I don't think we're going to do it that way. And you were like, okay. And you like closed your computer and you walked away. And then the old me would have just been like, fuck that. Like, what's that all about? But I was like, I think I came back in like 5 minutes later, or 10 minutes.
We had a phone call later.
I was like, you know, you seemed overwhelmed or frustrated.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Like, and actually, it had nothing to do with the documentation.
No, I know. I know it didn't. But that's good that we had that conversation, because it was something totally else. But if I had run with this, like, she hates this job, she's not taking responsibility. Yeah. Like, I would have made up all the story in my head about something else.
For sure.
It's so much easier to have the conversation.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a really important thing to even touch on too, is like, you know, it's not, the perception of things is always different than what's happening underneath it all. So there are all of us have days that we're like, we snap or we say, or, you know, whatever. And it is nice to just be like, you know what? It's not anything personal. It just is what it is. We'll chat about it later. We have open communication. Are you okay? Are things good? Okay, good. We can move on.
And just checking, like, are you doing okay? And same with me. Like, I can go from like 0 to 60 in a minute and be like, so if someone says to me, are you doing okay? I'll be like, you know what? Not even about here. I didn't mean to slam
there's something out
at the meeting, but
thank you for
like asking me.
Right.
I'm cool.
For sure.
Right. So what I'd love to do is we're going to wrap up in a moment. I'd love to bring you back, number one, because I think this is a great conversation.
We could talk for days though.
I know, hours and hours and hours, but I do like to end with a few little, like, I call them like rapid fire questions. They're not anything. Don't be stressed about it. Like, it's not anything like earth shattering.
I'm ready.
They're super easy questions, but it kind of just gives people like a chance to show like their others non-professional side. So
sure.
If you were not doing what you're doing right now, like if you were not in the healthcare and wellness business, what do you think you'd be doing for a career?
Oh my gosh. You know, if I could choose, I'm going to try to think of things that come to my mind right away. Actually, if I could choose something that I could just spend 40 hours a week doing, I would volunteer again for either schools or like athletes for young adults with disabilities. That used to be like my huge passion. So if money aside, that's what I would do.
That's awesome.
I would either do like coaching for Special Olympics or like camps or like,
I don't think anyone said that. That's like a first one.
That used to be I used to do and I loved it, but.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to come up with like a project then, an angel project for Special
Olympics. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It would be fun. I love that stuff.
Okay. What is one of your favorite books, whether it be fiction, nonfiction, like any book that you've read that you really, really enjoyed?
Let's see. I haven't read one of her books in a little while, but there's this author called, her name is Judy, what's her name? Something Picoult. What's her first name?
Jody
Picoult. Yes.
I thought you were going to say Keeper. Judy Blume.
No. Oh my gosh. I'm not going to go back that far. No.
Yeah. Jody Picoult. I've read some of her books.
Yeah. So like My Sister's Keeper is one I've read a couple times. She wrote one called 19 Minutes. That was one I've read a couple times.
Didn't she write The Pact?
I don't think I read that one, but yes, she wrote that one. I really like any World War II based books too. So All the Lights We Cannot See is a really good
Nightingale.
Yeah. I just read The Tattooist of Auschwitz. That was really good.
Oh, that one's a good one. And then The Girl You Left Behind. No, not that one. There's another one. I can't think of the title right now, but I'll think of it and I'll send it to you.
I'll read it.
Yeah, it's great. Okay. Last question. What is something that a lot of people get wrong about you or like misunderstand?
People think I'm an extrovert, but I'm an introvert.
Both of us are. After like things, we're like, okay, we're going to go into the hotel room and just like relax.
Exactly. So when I say that I recharge by sitting by myself in silence and, you know, don't talk, people are like, really? Cause you seem like you could. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's another reason we get along so well is, again, the things that probably both set us off are the same and both the way we need to recharge is the same. So I think that ends up working out really, really well for
really
us.
Really well in our favor. Unless we both actually needed to be together to like solve the situation. But but I think Joshua is more of like an extrovert, so that could be good for
him. Yeah. So I would say that was that's definitely a big thing. People think I'm extroverted, but I in fact am the one who's standing in the corner at parties that needs to be like pulled into a one-on-one conversation, and then I'm happy with one-on-one.
I would be with you in the corner.
Yes, exactly.
Until we're about to leave, until my husband's like, okay, we're ready to leave. And then I go say hi to everyone.
Like, oh, hey,
you've literally sat in the corner for 2.5 hours. And as soon as we left, now it's like
time to talk. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Anyways. Well, this was so great. I definitely would love to bring you back on because I think this is a really good topic and it's really helpful for people. And I think it would be really helpful for other business owners to learn like what worked for you, what were, how we maybe handle conflict or deal with situations that are come up in our business and how we talk. Cause I think communication is like really key for that. So
absolutely. Yes. I would love to.
I would love to have you back. So, well, thank you so much for coming
and thank you.
Everyone listening. That's all we got. Reach out to us. You can DM me on Instagram and you could go to our website, kristagurka.com, and check out if you're interested in our teacher training program, a Pilates program. Kelly runs that. She's awesome at it. And anything else. And until next time, bye for now, ladies. Thanks so much for sticking around to the end of the episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in working with me, I wanted to let you know that I offer free discovery calls and you can schedule one at kristagurka.com/discovery. And I also do private one-on-one coaching and consulting service as well. So if you're interested in working with me in any capacity, I invite you to visit my website, kristagurka.com. You can check out the Work With Me page. And before you even jump in, let's schedule a free discovery call. Let's chat and make sure I'm the right person to help support you and your business.